1936, Mr. Winnie of Medlicott & Winnie for the Craven Arms Cinema Company addressed Tenbury magistrates regarding the new Regal Cinema.
Mr. Winnie of the firm of Messrs. Medlicott & Winnie, solicitors for the Craven Arms Cinema Company, addressed the magistrates regarding the proposed cinema to be erected on the site of the present shops, 47 and 49 Team Street, Tenbury, belonging to Mr. W.H.B. Ashley. It was proposed to make structural alterations to the existing premises to provide a cinema accommodating 316 persons, the cinema to have a 12-foot entrance, with a booking office, etc., and two lock-up shops. Mr. Roberts of Birmingham, a specialist in cinema architecture, had drawn up plans which were submitted to the bench for approval. The roof of the cinema was to be covered with sheet asbestos similar to the cinema at Craven Arms. An exit would be made into Church Walk and two exits on ground at the rear of the building. Mr. Winnie pointed out that the erection of the cinema would not create opposition with the present cinema, because this would be closed down and Mr. A.J. Smith would be the resident manager and Mr. Robson, who was also the proprietor of the Craven Arms cinema, would be the proprietor. Everything would be done to secure proper safety to patrons and ample exit supply. The magistrates granted provisional approval of...
In July the following year, 1937, Mr. Winnie again appeared before Tenbury magistrates, this time to seek a licence for the Regal.
Mr. J.S. Winnie, solicitor, Craven Arms, applied for a cinema licence for the Regal Tenbury Limited. Mr. Winnie pointed out that the new cinema was nearing completion, and it was desired to open it to the public on Thursday, July the 29th, when it was hoped to be completed. Superintendent Gregory had seen over the building recently, but not until it was completed could they hope to receive a certificate from the county architect and the Home Office. Inspector Wisley stated that he had visited...
During the final stages of completing the Regal, a young lad slipped into the building to see what was going on.
I'm Bill Bunce. I was born in Team Street and lived in Tenbury all my life, except for the army days. When I was 12, I could see people going in and out of the cinema, the new proposed cinema to take over from the Corn Exchange, and... Being nosy, I had to creep in and see what was going on. When I got in there, the Reverend Chesterton was looking to the right, was stood looking to the right-hand side. The man painting the murals on the wall, I didn't know anything about him. I was only 12 and I'm nosy. The Reverend Chesterton was chatting with him, and he was joking together while he was painting and dabbing on the walls. The Reverend said to him, what about depicting me on there? And thereby he painted a monkey on the bottom of the tree on the right hand side, and that was all followed from that day that I was in there. So I of course assumed that it was that day that he'd done it.
The Regal, when completed, will represent the cooperation of specialists in several spheres which contribute to the construction of a cinema. The architect's sketch, which is reproduced on page 1, will give some idea of the front elevation of the completed Regal, cost between £10,000 and £12,000. This is a tribute to the architect, Mr. Ernest S. Roberts, LRIBA of Birmingham. The shops, two well-appointed shops, are included in the scheme. Foyer and Crush Hall, an attractive entry through four double doors, leads to a large foyer and crush hall. On the right-hand side is the pay box containing the latest in ticket issuance. Entrances to ladies' and gentlemen's cloakrooms are placed at the end of the foyer. Both cloakrooms are well appointed and in the best possible finish. Decorations of the foyer and crush hall are in plastic paint, giving an effect of warmth and solidity. Auditorium. The entrance to the magnificent auditorium is by double doors from the foyer. The colour scheme carried out in pleasing shades and clever lighting effects. The ventilation and extract grills are treated as decorative features, whilst the beauty of the brilliant artist's work on the walls is emphasised by the quiet dignity of the seating and carpeting. Seating accommodation is provided for over 300 persons. The comfort of the chairs and the unusual amount of leg room is a triumph for the contractors. The seats have deeply curved back, sprung seating and sponge armrests with luxurious backrests. proscenium opening carries a frame of fibrous plaster to represent a massive laminated effect. The front of stage houses a multicoloured lighting system, which is controlled from projection room. Since the first day that the work of building a new cinema began in Tenbury, the whole inhabitants of Tenbury and neighbourhood have watched with great interest the daily proceedings taking place. On Thursday afternoon, a complimentary performance was given before the magistrates, the local petty sessions, members of Rural District Council, Parish Council, police and employees engaged in the building of the Regal. In the evening there was a queue at opening time and a full house witnessed a splendid projection of the announced programme. Everybody danced, Them Their Hills and Good Little Monkeys. There was a 5 minutes interval and with full lighting effect the whole auditorium could be seen and the brilliant work of the artist Mr. George Legg appreciated.
I was 6 years old when the new cinema of the Regal was built in 1937.
Tenbury resident Ian Pennington.
When the Regal was open in 1937, I was just so excited because it was a new cinema. I loved all the wall paintings as well. Mr. Jack Smith was part owner and also manager of the new cinema. He had run the old cinema in the Corn Exchange. The cashier was May Hopkins, and I remember two usherettes there, Betty and Mona Hume, and they were sisters, and they were dressed in a blue uniform. I remember Cyril Cook, when I was about 10, he came there as the projectionist, and later on he became the manager.
By the 1950s, another six-year-old was introduced to the Regal.
My family moved here when I was six.
Former Tenbury Mayor Keith Griffiths.
And I can remember the Regal being here, and we went, my parents took me down to films along with my elder brother. My first memory would be when I was seven or eight, I would think, going to the picture house, which is what we called it then. You went to the picture house to see the flicks.
In the early 50s, another young man was starting his working life.
I was 15. I started to work at the Regal Cinema in 1951.
Tom Dallow was a young projectionist at the Regal and recalls what it was like as a working cinema.
The first showing that I helped do was on a Tuesday afternoon when we had a matinee at 2 o'clock. Cyril Cook was the manager and it was him that I did the first show with, like, you know. The stage was quite different then and the screen was flat on the wall at the back. The curtains at that time, or the tabs as we called them, did go across the screen backwards and forwards, and coming out was a stage with a beautiful proscenium that isn't there now, you know, and the proscenium arch was red and like a yellowy gold colour. That left the stage. It wasn't a very big stage anyway, you know, you couldn't do any plays or things like that on it. It wasn't big enough for that. And then across the front was another border of like proscenium, and behind that were the coloured lighting, which you could manipulate. I think the switches are still up in the projection room now, where you could dim and play and use all sorts of colours, which used to shine upon the curtains and make them look different colours. They were blue curtains with gold. Over the years, the screen had to come back off the back wall because we put a wide screen in. Well, this screen came forward, reducing it more. And to show the scope on there, we used to wind the top up and down out of the projection. Well, not out of the projection, out of the rewind room, actually. And we used to let the top down so it made like a letterbox. Then, of course, when you had to go back to widescreen, you wind it back up again. Change all the projectors over, like anamorphic lenses and get different gates for the film to run on, because the film like was stretched. I don't know whether it is now or not, I've no idea. To me now, it isn't any good, like, you know. You go in, the murals are still there, but the lighting upsets me. I don't like the lighting. No, I want those window lights working, and then I don't know whether they can get those to work on the wall again, I'll put new ones, but if those window lights work, that'd be beautiful. The window lights worked on a dimmer. It was in the projection room. I think it's still there now. But the electric wiring is just something out of this world, really, because you had to watch it and get electric shock when he renewed the bulbs. And I've got a feeling there's four bulbs up in most of them, as there was then, but one or two of them didn't work through various reasons, but the wiring wasn't any good. But they were beautiful because they used to light the ceiling up. Well, those used to stay on till the credits had gone, and then you dim them off then. Same like when you started a film off, you show the certificate on the curtain, and then we keep these lights on the side until the credits had gone.
By the 1960s, independent television was well and truly on the scene. Cinema audiences were falling, and by August 1966, the cinema closed for business.
Two more local cinemas, the Regal at Craven Arms and the Regal at Tenbury, both owned by Craven Cinemas, are to close down on August the 27th. This decision announced by the company this week.
Over the following couple of years, several schemes were put forward for the use of the building. The March's Opera Company were interested in setting up an opera house.
The Opera in the Marches Limited is interested in buying the now disused Regal Cinema in Team Street, Tenbury. If they did take over the premises, they would stage two or three operatic productions a year, promote recitals and lease the audience.
There was a plan to demolish the Regal and turn the site into a car park, and the front of the building, which predates 1900, was beginning to show its age.
Barriers had to be erected on the pavement outside the Regal Cinema in Team Street, Tenbury, on Saturday afternoon, when loose plaster began to fall from the disused premises.
Keith Griffiths takes up the story.
The audience has been dropping. It was cold there. You think it's cold now sometimes. It was cold then. About that time, what had been the community centre, which is the building now on the other side of Barrington Road from the Indian restaurant, that was a community centre then. It had been a Baptist chapel, and the manse was still there alongside it. But a compulsory purchase order was stuck upon it by the county council to widen the end of Barrington Road. So the council, they thought it would be a jolly good idea to use the money to purchase the Regal as a community centre, and they called a public meeting.
Special parish meeting of this parish will be held at the community hall. The business to be transacted at the meeting will be as follows. To consider whether or not consent be given to Tenbury Parish Council to dispose of the Community Hall, Cross Street, Tenbury.
And I remember going to public meeting, very much a younger person of those at present, but interested because I was in amateur theatre by then, dramatic and operatic society, and we wanted somewhere to perform because we'd been performing, obviously, at the community centre there. I remember the late George Maund, who then was getting on in years, still on the council, getting on in years, but I remember he made a very passionate speech. He gathered everything together and he talked about how, if you don't let us buy this, if you don't agree with us buy this, you'll put this town back 20 years. And it was a most impassioned speech, I thought, and I'll never forget it. As a youngster, I heard it. And a vote was taken at the end, a small percentage possibly of the town, but was that the council would move ahead. And the council took the courage in both hands, really, because it was a big thing to do.
Evening, the majority of Tenbury ratepayers present agreed that the council should dispose of the present community hall in Cross Street, buy the cinema, and in doing so incur a loan of up to £5,000. Mr. A. W. Tudge, chairman of the parish council,
and
said
the council
total cost of
was
buying
helped
the
out by the operating
agreement,
because they paid for the installation of the new wiring for the lights. And there's a plaque now in the foyer at the Regal which says donation from the operatic and the Dramatic Society in remembrance of the late L.A. Sims, who'd been the president of one society and the chairman, I believe, of the other. The council, however, had other problems as the years went by with the building, and there was problems with the roof leaking. The actual cinema theatre area itself is, of course, the newest. The old part of the building was at the front above the foyer. Up there, there's two tiled roofs and a lead valley between them, which is about a metre wide. There's another one at the front behind the parapet wall, which you see on the front. Another big lead valley in there, and they were leaking atrociously. And the roof itself was in this terrible condition. So the council actually had to repair those two roofs and the lead. There was an appeal made by Frank Crisp.
We came to Tenbury in 1969. I was on the council for 20-odd years, and my wife joined me on the council. She was a councillor as well. The Regal came into it on the town council, obviously. The town council bought the Regal, which cost an awful lot of money, and they were only paying the interest on it at that time. I hope they've cleared the debt since, but I don't know. The Regal itself, I had a look at it, and I thought, oh, crikey, what a mess. All the paintings on the wall, these things I heard were really beautiful and nice. They were all stripped, they were like confetti hanging down the curtains. It was all come apart, it was all oil. Oh, dear me, I've got to do something about this. I couldn't think of anything at the time. That passed. I had a friend on the council, Eric Lowe. I don't know if you've come across Eric. He was a lot older than me, a nice old chap. He lived down Kearside. And he was always on about we wanted a new museum. He lived in the past a lot. His experiences with Tenbury were fantastic. He really knew an awful lot about Tenbury, which a lot of people didn't know. He's a nice guy, and he wanted a museum. The museum, I started looking around for a building, and Eric wanted the pump rooms. And the pump rooms in those days were owned by Banks's Brewery. Back to the Regal, or back to the museum, that's how it started with me. Eric, we formed a little committee, three of us I think it was, and I looked at premises all over the place and came across Gough School. There was a scheme going which employed unemployed local kids, 15-year-olds. 16-year-olds. I thought I could do that. I think you had to have six and a supervisor, all of which were paid. It wasn't a fantastic amount, but it was something for the kids to do, and they were learning the trade. I had to produce training manuals for all the jobs they did in the place. So firstly, break it down into skills, break it down into what people can do, and then make a booklet of it all. This I did through my own company, and we started them all rolling on that. We started actually working in it in January 77.
Now that the project had been completed, the consultancy was undertaking work on the murals in Tenbury's Regal Cinema, Mr. Crisp went on. They would be cleaned and repainted. The painting work would also be completed in the foyer and entrance. Pointing work was being done on some of the brickwork. And
I had to have 6 months' work for them. And I estimated that the museum would take about 3 months. Anyway, before the project came to an end, I had to get this other project going, and this was the Regal. And all I could see of the Regal was that we had to be stripped, walls had to be stripped completely because there's nothing left, or very, very little left on, but to put them back again in acrylic instead of oils. I'm not a man of paint, I don't know, I'm not an artist one little bit, so it's a new territory for me. The only thing was I'm a good organiser. I could organise the manpower for it. I could pay the manpower for it and get the materials and get it all together and crack a whip if need be. They started on it all very well. They did it at the museum and then they started onto that. And I was very, very lucky in the fact I advertised in the Ludlow Employment Exchange. And a chappie came forward from there and I told him what I wanted. Could you do it? He said, oh, I've done big posters. I've done that sort of thing. I said, oh, great, great. Come and have a look. And anyway, he accepted it. And the next thing, of course, was to convince the town councillor I could do it. Me, a non-artist, a non-builder, who could do this an awful lot of work to this Regal. The town council believed me, and the first thing I did, they got McGrath to paint the ceiling.
I'm Ray Tompkins, and I was the person that painted the Regal Cinema ceiling back in the 70s. And it's quite a job to undertake, but I was doing it for John McGrath, and I just started up on my own, and they asked me if I'd like to take it on as a job, and they put all the scaffolding up, and I took the job on, which was quite an undertaking on my own. Firstly, it all had to be washed down, which was years and years of smoking and nicotine, and then everything after that was filling the cracks, doing all the maintenance and all that on it and getting it ready for painting, which took quite a few weeks actually. And then came the painting. I done two coats or three coats, if I remember rightly, all over the ceiling. And then when that was finished and they were satisfied with the work, they asked me to do all the red cutting in all around the borders and around the lights in the ceiling. And that was a job on its own, cutting all the red in, which, like the rest of it, hadn't been done for, you know, donkey's years. Quite an undertaking for myself on my own. As I can remember, the state of the walls, the water had been getting in through the roof and that, and running down the walls, which was deteriorating all the plasterwork and the paintwork, and it was looking quite tatty. After the ceiling was completed, a lot of the paintwork on the walls was in bad condition, flaking off and all that. But as I understand, I think someone else done the artwork, which was beyond my abilities.
The ceiling needed a lot of structure to get up there and to do it, and we weren't in the ground of hiring equipment and what have you for that. We had two ladders when we were doing the walls, that was all. And for those two ladders, I say the artist, we'll call him that, the foreman in charge of them, he would look at a bit of it, step back off the off the ladder first, of course, and then look at it and paint this bit, a sketch of it, and then strip it down, and then put the outline on. And he'd do this for a yard and another yard, and get the lads to do clean up the mess and do the scraping later on, and then slowly replace it all the way around. He did, in my opinion, a marvellous job. And it didn't cost the town council a penny. My company provided all the paints for it and the hire of the ladders and what have you. So they got all that lot free. The town council and the town paid nothing for their labours, because that was a ministry job, and they paid for their labours. And the job was done. I say it took just the 3 months, so it was one of the bad estimates.
For me, the Regal is the most important building in the town for this community, the most important amenity this town has. And for all its problems, it may be old, it may be creaking, but I shall never forget when I had a mayor's concert in there to raise money for my charity when I was mayor. A mayor and dignitaries came from all around. They came to the Regal. I remember talking to one of them afterwards, and he said to me, "How lucky you are in a town this size to have a building like this, that you can seat people in like this. And you've got this number of people in here. How lucky you are." He said, "I hope you appreciate it." I said, "Well, I do. I'm not sure everybody else does. But long may it remain with all its problems. It's essential for us."